Our scripture lesson today comes from Mark chapter 1, the first 13 verses. Mark chapter 1. We read about two cousins from the first chapter of Mark. We see what John is doing. In the first verse, Mark the gospel writer puts these words down. In the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance and for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message, after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him into the desert. And he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. Beautiful, beautiful set of verses. Let them be blessed to us as we seek his guidance through prayer. Would you please join with me? Heavenly Father, let these words be not mine, but yours. Let these words be not something that just bounces around these halls, but that it soaks into us. It gets into our very core and lifts our heart and strengthens us and gives us what we need in the week to come, that we may proudly proclaim we are Christians, believing wholly upon Jesus Christ, and that we may be beacons to those lost in darkness. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, as many of you know, I like to drive. I love getting behind the wheel of just about anything and driving, except for that little smart car. I still have yet to figure out how in the world anybody would ever fit in that. It looks like it should. We saw one the other day that had a big key in the back. It looked like you should wind it like a toy. But I love to drive. My education in driving started out about my boy's age, 8, 9 years old, when I learned how to drive our firewood truck. And my father would sit in the passenger seat of that 1947 Chevrolet, ton and a half, 5-speed, with a split rear end, and put his arm across the back seat as I drove it across the back side of the farm. And every time I'd miss a gear, he'd tap me in the head. That's how I'm going to teach them boys how to drive. Tap. But from those days forward, I drove. And I love being behind the wheel. I love being out there. I love driving all over the place. My wife gets after me sometimes, why are we going the long way? Well, because I want to see something different. And she knows she does it because I love seeing the scenery. The truth of the matter is I'm usually looking to see if there's any tractors hidden around somewhere, and I find them. But I love being on the road. And in preparation for this sermon, I was thinking about what it must be like when you drive on those roads if you let yourself get lost in history for a moment. I found a picture that I have kept within my piles of paper. And I don't know why it came to me. Well, I guess I do. It was a picture of a man with a 1925 Model T Ford sitting alongside the road with the thing jacked up on wood. And he's putting a bearing in the rear end of it, alongside the highway. He's got on his tie. He's got his shirt sleeves rolled up. And his wife and child are standing there next to the car like this looking at him. And the caption reads, "New advances in modern transportation." And you go on to read it. It says, with the new way that things are today, man can now stop alongside our modern highway system and repair his car to keep the journey going. I know men today that can't change a flat tire. And you look at that picture, he's putting the rear end together alongside of a dirt road. That was modern travel. And I know there's a few of you in there that can remember that modern travel. Yet today, my father, whom I love dearly, went out and bought himself a new, well, not new, it's used, new to him, because he'll never buy a new car. Bought himself a Buick, one of these big fancy ones, and he was so happy about it, he pointed out several times, that thing's got heated seats in it. Is this my father who, when I bought something new, chided me? We've come to this point now where what was is not. We've come to the point where you can't pull up alongside the road and put the bearing in the rear end no more. You get in a car and you start it. And even in cars nowadays, they talk back to you. Would you like to start your car today, Mr. Leatherman? Well, I put the key in the ignition, didn't I? And the reason we are able to do this is because of the roads. Because of the roads, because of the history of them. Because of the need we had to reach out and connect. We had to grow. I was talking to my uncle last night about how my grandfather met my grandmother. My grandmother lived up in the mountains of Wolfsville. And in the early teens, that was a trip to go from the big town of Harmony, don't blink when you go through there, to the burg of Fisher's Hollow. That took an effort. Now I get in the truck and I'm up there in 7 minutes. Six if I'm in a hurry. I feel that history. Route 40 goes right by my property. And I guarantee you this spring, if I can get everything figured out and we have the picnic, you'll see it. Route 40 goes right beside of my property. And when Route 40 was designed and built, Route 40 was to be the road that ended it all. Route 40 was going to connect the nation. And it's funny if you stand there and you look at Route 40 and you think about what it is. You see, Route 40 is built on top of the Victory Road. Anybody know what the Victory Road was? That was the road that they built to honor World War I veterans. And the Victory Road is built on top of what Thomas Jefferson labeled in 1806 the National Highway, the National Pike. Road building. Getting better at connecting. Finding a different way. I have pictures of my dad and uncle as babies sitting on top of the bulldozers that was used to build Route 40. When they built Route 70, there's pictures of them again. They ain't babies no more. It all started in 1926 with the road to end all be all, going all the way back to 1806. But guess what? If you drove Route 40 back in the day, you couldn't get on Route 40 on a Sunday. Route 40 splits our farm in half. My uncle lived on one side, my grandfather lived on the other, and the statement was, if you had any visiting to do with that side of the road, you got it done as soon as church was over, because at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you wasn't getting on that road because it was so busy. Dwight D. Eisenhower saw this. And in 1954, he commissioned the interstate highway system, all starting with Route 70. All starting with Route 70. Anybody in here ever drove the entire length of Route 70 from here to Utah? Have you? I've driven 3/4 of it, and when I got to Kansas, that was more than enough for me. Kansas is flat. I saw a tree for 2 days and still didn't reach it. And I love driving, but not that much. But Dwight D. Eisenhower said, we're not connected as a country. We're not able to get together. In his time spent in Germany looking at the Autobahns, he was determined that the growth of this country would come in a way that we would connect with each other. And so in 1956, they started laying Route 70. And believe it or not, and I just learned this, Route 70 wasn't finished until 1994. Connected. Because the old way did not suffice. The old way did not bring the connection. The old way did not really connect. In the old days, and I love old roads, don't get me wrong, but sometimes I like to get where I'm going. In the old days, you got in a car, if you was going to drive from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore, you set aside the better part of the day. If you was going to drive from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh, you set aside a couple days. You made it an adventure, but it was hard to be connected. And Dwight Eisenhower saw that. He said it was not being fulfilled yet. The connection was not there. There was no fulfillment. We need to build a better road. We need to come up with a better way to connect. And so Route 70 was built, and from Route 70 sprang 470, 95, 81, 85. I got a whole list. God saw the need. He saw the need from Genesis. He knew the day would come. He knew looking down. And it was funny, because as we were on the way into church this morning, I'm thinking about this sermon and I'm like, man, this sermon doesn't make any sense to me. What were you thinking? It's about roads. I'm supposed to quit talking about guy stuff. And my wife from the back seat goes, I got a question about the Old Testament and how people got saved and what the difference was between them and Jesus. Okay. I got you. You're funny. And it was interesting because there was a disconnect. There was no focal point. There was no connection. God saw the need. God saw that we were not catching up yet. That the old road was not working. And he knew it was going to be that way. And so what did he do? He made the word flesh. He made the word flesh. He had planned for it. I love hearing people say, Charlie told me this morning, there were people telling Charles Nayani, don't expect much. Don't you ever say that around me. I don't know what to expect anymore. And frankly, I don't worry about it so much. God knows. He has laid everything out. And when he knew that this was coming, the time came that he sent Jesus down. And Jesus was born. We just had the epiphany on Thursday, I think. Friday. I had my dates right. The epiphany is a two-part thing depending on which kind of Christian you are. There's Western and Eastern. The Western Christians believe that epiphany was the day that the Magi arrived. And the Eastern Christians believe it was after Jesus Christ stepped out of the water. I say both. But the Word became flesh, and God sent him down, and we see John the Baptist, his cousin, building a road. I have built some roads in my time. I have been on equipment. I have been part of road building crews, all the way up from surveying out how the road's going to be, all the way to laying the blacktop, to seeing the striping done, to being somebody that was on the road right after it was built and put down some of the first black marks because he spun his wheels because he thought it would be funny. I've been there, preparing the way so that you may go get in your car and drive to Tennessee without stopping. John preparing the way. We look at Mark, and we all know the story. John the Baptist was called out. We all know what he looked like. He looked like Charlton Heston, didn't he? I love that scene in that movie. I will never, ever, 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 ever quit watching that movie. I love seeing Charlton Heston as John the Baptist. Where's his beard? You living out in the wild animals. Look at this thing I got. And he ate locust and wild honey. Now, just for a reference point, I tried that. And I can tell you right now, it is not on Paul's diet staple ever. The honey is, the locust no. that must taste good to him. But you always see him all bronzed and in that water, and he's dipping people, and they're coming in, and he's splashing them down. And if you've ever seen that movie, I love that scene when Max von Sydow comes walking up to the water. He's got his cloak on, and John's a splashing him away, and suddenly he looks up at him. And when Jesus says to him, "Baptize me," John says, "No." You can read the gospel account of it. It ain't no. I'm not worthy to do this. I know who you are. And Jesus says, "It is right and fulfilling." In the movie, Max von Sydow, playing Jesus Christ, looks at him and says, pulls his cloak back and goes, "John, baptize me, please." I love that. "Baptize me, please." Can you imagine Jesus Christ coming to you and saying, "Do this for me, please"? Would you be able to say no? Of course not. Say amen. "Yes, I will." And so John's preparing the road because God had seen what was going on. We needed a better path to get to heaven. We needed a better way to understand what God had laid out for us. We had 5,000 rules from the Jewish culture, but they didn't work amongst us Gentiles. And the need was there. And the need was met when Jesus Christ was born. And when he began his ministry, he stepped out of the water. And the Bible says the heavens tore open. I have never seen them recreate that one on TV yet. But the heavens tore open and the Spirit ascended on them. And the flesh became the Word. And the Word became the flesh. And the road was built. And Jesus Christ simply says, "What? Follow me. Just follow me. I am now building your road to heaven. Follow me. It'll be nice and straight. It won't be very smooth all the time. It won't exactly be the path you always want to take. But I'll guarantee you one thing, on the other end, you will find the reward." I loved reading that little thing this morning. If somebody held out a bag, two bags to you right now today, and you knew one was filled with gold and you knew one was filled with pain, which one would you take? Take the gold. Don't lie to me. You're in church. I know which one I'd start to reach for. Nobody wants the pain. But it's the unfortunate part of life that we chose. Jesus Christ says, "I will help you through it. I will not take it away. I will teach you from it and you will grow stronger." When I sat down this past Tuesday at the new job, the boss man looked at me and said, "How long was you out of work?" "I don't know, 8 or 9 weeks. And struggled for months and months before that. And he goes, "And what do you think of this?" I said, "Well, I'm here because God sent me." And he goes, "All right." And it doesn't mean that the struggles are over. It doesn't mean that life's going to become rosy. And I'm well aware of that. But I'm also well aware of that the road that has been prepared, as John prepared for Jesus, Jesus prepares for you. We look at that, and I love the last part of those verses. Turn back in there for a minute. You got to go back to the 12th verse. Let's back up a little further, 11. "And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son.'" I wish I had a switch on this microphone. I could turn my voice deep and sound like a, "You are my son." How's that work? I never tried that before. God said that to him. God said that to him. You get down to the 12th verse. What's the first words you read? "At once the Spirit sent him into the desert, following up by, 'And he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan.'" He lived. He breathed. He hurt. He felt. He prepared. He laid the road that we must follow to heaven. Being tempted for 40 days by Satan. Last Sunday, I got tempted for 40 minutes by the chocolate wonderfall at Golden Corral. I couldn't take 40 days of that. You know what he taught us in those verses? You know what the gospel writer says? That through him you have strength. Through him you have salvation. Through him you have a road to follow. Through Jesus you are saved. Through your absolute belief you are taken. You are no longer your own. Your road is built. Follow it. I love thinking in that term when that gospel writer said that. Because I got to tell you, if you were anything like me, or you had any same problems I did, you chose whatever road you felt like going on, and most of the time you usually wound up in a mess. It's nice to have somebody else do the driving. Amen? Let's join our hearts together. Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to turn things over to you. To give everything over to you. To take that road, that journey that we cannot truly steer. But Jesus Christ, as my son just told me this morning while we were singing, he looked at me and he goes, "Daddy, I know what Emmanuel means." What? God is with us. You are with us through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through all things, through the pain, through the happiness, through every decision we will make from the moment that we accepted Jesus Christ. We know to come to rely on you. And while we are going to face hardship on this road that you have built, we will also see a glorious ending. Pray that you put that in our hearts and keep it there. Pray that you put upon us that absolute reliance on you. Pray that we take these little words in Mark's gospel, these 14 verses, and read them and reread them and read them and reread them, knowing that as Jesus Christ became the living embodiment, became the Word, as He was your Son with whom you are well pleased, know that He was tempted. And He would never, ever let us alone. Charles Spurgeon said, "As though you put your children in the furnace, you will put your furnace in them." Please, Father, guide us through this week to come on this road that you have built, on this road that we are following, and let us be road builders along the way for those that are lost and seeking. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, and all of God's children said, Amen. If there is a need within you, if there is something troubling you, if you need that strengthening, as we sing this last hymn, appropriately, just as I am, page 488, I invite you to come forward for that prayer. Just as you are, just as I am. Praise God and hallelujah that we know Jesus Christ.
Please stand, turn to number 488, just as I am.
My soul, I want to fly.
brothers and sisters, I love each and every one of you. I think about you in my prayers, and I pray that as this week progresses, you are strengthened. That whatever you face, you are made to walk through it, holding on to the Savior, holding on to the Spirit, and blessed by God. I now pray those blessings upon each and every one of you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and may we meet here again or thereafter, praising His name forever. Amen.